countdown is on, right? Why don't we do the countdown together? We'll do 3, 2, 1, Christmas, okay? 3, 2, 1, Christmas. All right. We did that to try to get the people in the hall in. Some of you who have already looked at the bulletin saw that your pastors are really in a giving spirit today. Did you notice that? There's two sermons listed. You get two for the price of one. But you know what they say, if something seems too good to be true, it probably is. So we're actually going to give you two half sermons. I'm going to give a half sermon kind of leading into our time of worship, and then Pastor Chris will give us a half sermon leading us out of our worship and leading us into our week of Christmas. This past week, I was coming up to the office, and I was listening to Word FM, and they were inviting people to call and share their Christmas wishes, and that was my cue to turn the radio off. Because my wish for myself and for our faith family was just really kind of perking inside, and I just felt like I wanted to speak my wish out. And so this is what I said. I said, my wish is that we as a faith family at Finland would just somehow this Christmas be blown away by the greatness of Jesus. I said, you know, my prayer is that during this season we would be in touch with what we believe, maybe like never before, so that our heads would be shaking back and forth and we'd be saying, wow, this really happened. This is for real. Maybe our eyes filling up with tears as we reflect on the wonder that God came into this world in human flesh. He came to be with us. He came to make a way for us to be with him in eternal life, which begins now. I pray that all of us here at Finland would kind of be touched in this way, maybe like never before. And that's what I want for Christmas. I mean, you can give me the biography book, and you can give me my sweatpants and those stuff too. But that's what I want for Christmas. You know, the prophet Isaiah reminds us that Christmas happens in a very dark world. Part of our text this morning is Isaiah chapter 8, verses 20 and 21, and then chapter 9 through verse 2. And Isaiah reminds us that Christmas happens in a very dark world. Now, we don't usually see that darkness reflected in our Christmas pageants and our Christmas plays, right? We see Mary and Joseph and the baby sleeping in heavenly peace. We see Bethlehem and all is calm and all is bright. And yes, Mary and Joseph are in a stable and Jesus is lying in a manger, but even that is somehow made to seem cozy. And we've got a whole cottage industry that spends billions of dollars every year to try to create an idealistic Christmas. A merry little Christmas, a Hallmark Christmas. But we all know that real life is messier than that, right? There's someone inevitably who shows up with a little bit of a sour mood. And sometimes the conversation does go a bit south. And then there are the realities that we bring to the season, the disappointment, the loneliness, the sorrow, the uncertainty. Turns out that Matthew's gospel, Matthew's Christmas, reflects this darkness. Matthew says, yes, that first Christmas had its share of darkness. It says it was during the time of King Herod, and anybody who knows anything about King Herod, that's all you need to know. Matthew says, all Jerusalem was trembling during this time. The angel came to Joseph and said, quick, take Mary and the babe, go to Jerusalem, go to Egypt. There's a price on the baby's head. And all of this is so ironic to me. So soon after the angels announced good news of great joy to all people, the parents of this little town of Bethlehem were stricken with terror and tragedy because their kids were at the wrong place at the wrong time, the victim of a madman. I was studying this passage last Saturday at this time. I thought I was going to give this message last Sunday. And last Saturday, as I was studying for this message, I realized that last Saturday, many people in Connecticut were grieving the one-year anniversary of Sandy Hook School, where about the same number of children died as died in Bethlehem on that first Christmas. Also, the victims of a madman. We live in a very dark world. But the Bible says to us this morning, the first word in Isaiah 9 is what? The first word in Isaiah 9 is what? Nevertheless. And friends, that's God's word to us this morning. Nevertheless. You can write in your mind whatever is the hardship, whatever is the ache that's going on in your life. You can write that down on the tablet of your mind and then write behind it, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Chapter 8 of Isaiah, verses 21 and 22, shows us the darkness that was in Isaiah's time. People were in distress. People were so devastated by poverty and hunger that it says they cursed God. And Isaiah is saying, yes, this world is a dark place, and we cannot save ourselves. In fact, if we look to the earth, the things of the earth, for our answers, it gets even darker. The end of verse 22 says the people were cast into utter distress. Then Isaiah says, nevertheless, nevertheless. Let's read it together. Can you move it for me? There it is. Let's read it. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Notice it says the people have seen a great light. They didn't ignite it. They didn't generate it. They discovered it. And that tells us that hope and light are beyond us. Christmas tells us that though the world is dark, there is also hope, real hope, because God came down. God moved in. God got involved in the issues of the human condition. And His life and His love are here to permeate our lives. And that's why we celebrate. We're all at different places as we approach Christmas. Some of us are excited and we can hardly wait, and I love that expectancy. And some of us are disappointed and maybe alone, and that's hard. But remember, friends, our hope is not in having a merry little Christmas. Our hope is in the good news that God entered this world in human flesh, and He lived the most beautiful life the world has ever seen. Even folks who don't believe in His deity or that He is the Savior of the world must acknowledge that Jesus of Nazareth, the influence of His life, impacted the world like no other life in the last 20 centuries. There's a Yale historian by the name of Jerzlaw Pelikan. I probably didn't pronounce his first name right. But he said, just imagine that you had this giant magnet, and with this giant magnet, you could pull out all the influence of Jesus over the last 20 centuries. He said, if you did that, how much would be left? If you did that, how many of the life-giving establishments that happened through the centuries would still be there? That's just a matter of historical record. Jesus influenced the world in that way. The followers of Jesus were the ones who established hospitals and schools and colleges and universities. The followers of Jesus were the people who often took the lead in abolitionist movements. William Wilberforce, for example, stood alone as a follower of Jesus there in Parliament arguing for the abolition of slavery, and it happened. It happened in Great Britain almost a year before it happened in the United States. The influence of Jesus, the influence of followers of Jesus throughout history, we can hardly imagine it. But yet, many people in our world don't think about that. Many people don't think about the amount of influence that Jesus has brought to this world. Many people don't think it's just obvious that he would deserve a day to celebrate his birthday. And so our culture talks about the magic of the season, right? I heard advertisers this week talking about the magic of the season. But we don't have magic. We've got a miracle. We've got a miracle. God came into this world in human flesh. He came to show us who he is. He came to be with us. He came to be with you. He came to make a way for all of us to be with him in eternal life, which begins now. And that's why we celebrate. Let's pray. And Lord, just now we thank you so much that it's true. That Christmas really happened. You really did come to be with us. And you came, Lord, to make a way for us to be with you in all eternity. And so this morning, Lord, we have hope. Whatever we are facing in life this morning, we have hope. And so, Lord, as we continue in this time of worship, we pray that your light would shine through. We pray that your light would pierce the darkness in our lives. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you. You're the hope of the world. And we want to give you our praise now. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please, for worship?